Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy, knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin. What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
Okay, Brian, so we've referenced it a little bit already. The kicking situation hit critical mass. Mike McCarthy had told us, hey, you know, let's you know, not get too impatient here. There's some whipping winds coming over the tennis court. Jerry Jones told us, look, we're not that worried about it. Bones Fossil told us we're not that worried about it. Then lo and behold, we find out on Monday, oh, they'll be trying out kickers on Tuesday. And when Will McClay had spoke to the media on Monday afternoon, I want to get the quote exactly right. He said that the kicking, quote, hasn't been to the level that we want. So that was the most direct assessment of
the
kicking.
There's the most honest guy in the building right there.
100%. And so he said, so we're bringing in these four guys to work out. And ultimately, it's our old new kicker. Our old friend Brett Maher gets signed. He was out there practice today wearing Amari Cooper's old 19. And it was goodbye, Jonathan Garibay. I think you were right. You said the other day, you don't think this kicker's on the roster yet. Liram Hirelahu responded at practice on Tuesday, went 11 to 12, looked really solid. But ultimately, I think when you look at they had Zuerlein, they loved Garibay, they're bringing in Maher. What do all of them have in common? Big, powerful, strong legs. They've got range. And that's one thing Hirelahu doesn't have. He's been really reliable, about 45 inside at these practices. Anything further, and you start testing his range a little bit. There's some stuff that falls short. So I think the obvious look to me here is they are going to do everything they can to find a kicker with range that can beat Hirelahu. And if they can't do it, it'll be kind of a Tyler Biotish situation where they go, all right, I guess him, because we don't have anybody who can do exactly what we want. But it sure does seem like what they want out of their kicker is they want a boot. They want range.
Well, yeah, because Mike McCarthy doesn't try and gain another yard and then again in the Charger game and kicks, what, a 58-yard field goal to win it. So,
yeah,
you know, I'll say this. There are a lot of guys in that organization, the Cowboys organization, that were really, really on Garibay. There were Bones Fossil, Henry Schroka, who helps out the kicking situation, who's in pro personnel. Chris Hall was even talking about it. Sam Garza. There's people that went through Texas Tech, and with a small sample size, felt like that this kid could handle it.
Yeah.
Where they missed out, I think, is the pressure really got to the kid during these practices, you know?
Yes.
And that's where at Tech, maybe you didn't see it. He made some big kicks. And before you Red Raider fans start coming after me, I get it. The kid, you know, he had a strong leg and all that and won big games and kicked long field goals. I get it. But I felt like when you watched him, every missed kick was like taking a truckload of dirt and dumping it on him. And
it weighed
just when he felt like he was getting to the top, another truckload of dirt would come and get him and all that. So I would not be surprised. You know, I don't know if the kid will come back on the practice squad, but when they get the 16 names for the practice squad, I would not be surprised if they bring him back. Now, he might just tell them, hey, I don't want to be any more part of this situation. I don't want to be on your practice squad. But I know there's enough people in that building that really like this guy that they would think that maybe a little development, maybe a little keeping him around, maybe going through that whole experience might be the best thing for him.
How, and I know you've said before, you never really got kicker down like other positions when you were evaluating talent, but how much position in your experience is what goes on between the ears? Yeah. I mean, how easily can the mentals break a good kicker?
Oh, look what happened with, look what happened with Dan Bailey. You could talk about the back and all the things that he was dealing with and the health and all that. Once that confidence starts to wane, And then you've got us out there every day.
They will tell you here in Dallas that, because remember, Maher getting the job over Bailey was a huge surprise that year. They'll tell you they thought his mentality was broken.
See, that's what I'm saying. We didn't know there was a kicking competition. I remember being on Talking Cowboys with Mickey Spagnuolo, and I'm like, Mickey, I don't know about you, but I didn't think there was a competition at kicker.
Nope.
And there really was. I mean, we weren't charting the kicks, but with Garibay, every single day it went from, okay, we're just kind of doing this and doing, you know, we're just kind of having practice the first couple of days. And then all of a sudden we got these mojo moments. We got these mojo moments where, oh, wait, we're kicking field goals for real. And oh, wait, we're now doing more field goals. And oh, wait, this has become, as you said, critical mass, and now we're having to kick a lot more field goals under some extreme pressure. It went from being a very comfortable camp for these kickers to being like a ball buster, pardon my expression, for these guys, because every day, not only were they Henry Sroka and them charting kicks, Todd Archer was charting kicks, was charting kicks. Everybody was charting kicks, and the pressure just became too much for him. And I think that's what ultimately got him at the end.
I want to dive into some of the Will McClay stuff, and I'm going to try and shoehorn in as much as this, but you just said something that gave me a fun idea for a little dovetail topic really quick, which is you say there that you told Mickey Spagnuolo the line, I didn't know we were witnessing a kicking competition. From what you saw while we were out here, do you think, just try and think through it a little bit, see if there's, do you think there's a place where there's a competition right now where we don't realize there's a competition?
I said it on the radio today, Bobby. Until Will Grier got hurt, I think there's a competition at backup quarterback.
I did too. I didn't think there was when we got here. And as practice has gone along, and that's something we haven't mentioned yet. Will Grier left practice on Tuesday. I know you heard it was a groin injury, Brian.
Right.
Went into the medical tent and then went off. That was really disappointing because he has been so much better than Cooper Rush out here. And that was something that was starting to build some buzz around here. Will Grier might be better behind Dak. And so that was one for sure that I think is there.
Yeah. I'll say this though, Bob. The thing that I was told about Will Grier is, yes, there's a competition. No, they're just not going to give him the job. He's going to go have to win this job. And now with this injury, man, I hope that doesn't throw him out of the mix of competing for this opportunity. Because I agree with you. I think he's been better than Cooper Rush.
Now, this is not my question, but somebody threw this out on Twitter this week. So in the name of competitions, we didn't realize there was a competition. And a callback to last segment, where we were talking about, man, Mukwamu looked good, and he got a bunch of chatter, and we know they love Bell and everything like that. Somebody asked me on Twitter this week, and I said no, I didn't think there was. But should we be thinking potentially that maybe is Donovan Wilson completely safe? That's an injury-prone guy, and they're getting heavy at safety, and he hasn't really flashed out here.
Man, that dude is a blow-em-up guy. Special teams, something's going to show up. I have him on the team right now because I haven't seen anything. I've seen him play in NFL games.
Yeah.
I really haven't seen Mukwamu play in NFL games.
No, and I agree.
We've had 11, 12 practices, and once again, Bobby Belt, who's my eyes in Oxnard, is telling me that Mukwamu had a great practice. We're 12 practices into this damn thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So unless something changes in Denver or with the Chargers or with that last game with Seattle, you can sell me on Mukwamu all you want until he puts some of those days, like Kelvin Joseph together, put some of those days in there.
That's fair. And I do agree that I think he's on the roster. I don't think he's getting cut, but it was interesting to me because then I got to thinking about it and I was like, you know, Mukwamu flashed on Monday and Deron Bland has flexibility to play both and they like Deron Bland.
You guys keep telling me about Deron Bland and
for you a little bit.
I don't know, Bobby. I don't know. I mean, that's the disadvantage of not watching the tape, that I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking, oh, this number 30, he was a draft pick. Oh, great, all that. Where?
He showed up in the red zone drills today, by the way. He had a couple pass breakups here today.
What was the deal? Like, everybody that hasn't shown up for 11 practices decided to show up today?
In these red zone drills, they had it today. These little back shoulder fades and, you know, trying to get open in the back of the end zone. That was really tough for the offense today. But Bland is a guy who I get the feeling for you, Bland's a little bit like Dennis Houston, like where it's like, man, I keep hearing it, but where is it? I don't see it.
I hope he proves me wrong because everybody talks about it. I've yet to see it.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
That's fair. So we did get a chance. I've mentioned here a couple times already. We got the chance to talk to Will McClay. A couple interesting things there. Talking about his future, you know, why he hasn't decided to take another job. What could potentially cause him to take another job in the future, you know, diving in on things like that. But he also got into some personnel questions. A big chunk of it was the kicking stuff, which we've already touched on here. But I thought because he's the only honest guy we got, I think it's important to know what he said about the competition or the discussion that's given us the most fits or the most questions and curiosities. And that's again that left guard spot. Now Monday was not great for Tyler Smith. They got him on some twists. He got kind of, you know, tangled up and
is it Osa getting
no, on that one, that was a twist from I think
Carlos, the twist.
He was having a lot of trouble. His feet were getting tangled
up. He usually handles that. Him and Tyron, that's
probably part of it, is that when those twists were giving him problems, it was with Ball at left tackle.
Okay. All right. Now don't tell me.
He did have a couple of reps in one-on-ones against Watkins and some other guys where they gave him some issues. He had a good – you always will see the power in the
– second-year player and a rookie handling Watkins and who else?
Golston, I think it was.
Okay.
So, man, I mean, that's
Ball's kind of gone backwards for me right now.
Yeah, we're back to you're done. You're unapologizing to Josh Ball.
If Tyron Smith and Tyler Smith are busting twists, then you got my attention. But Ball, man, I don't know. I don't know about that.
That's fair. But I mean, he did have some penalties. He was grabbing outside the shoulders in ways.
That's what happens when he gets off balance.
No. But he was doing that lead blocking too, like getting pulling outside. It was not just in the twist. He came up and he was supposed to seal off Leighton Vander Esch on one play. He grabbed him by his shoulders and twisted him down. There were a couple. He just got a little sloppy with his hand technique. And it came on a day where Connor McGovern was probably at his best. That was the best I'd seen Connor McGovern look at practice was on Monday. Back today, Tyler Smith was ahead of him. And the question got asked, like, hey, should we read anything into Connor McGovern getting the first snaps every single day with the first team? They're switching him out, but he gets the first ones. And the question was asked, should we read into that in terms of, you know, Tyler Smith, or even should we read into that into where how good Connor McGovern has been? And to that question, including in it, either how good Connor McGovern has been or where Tyler Smith has been, Will McClay said, absolutely not. He said, no, this is just how we're rotating these guys. This is just how we're rolling the reps. Everybody's going to get a lot of reps. We're focusing on getting him, you know, his work at left guard. And you know, it's the way the rotation is going. Connor's also getting a lot of stuff at right guard and fullback, and he's doing a lot of different things. Shouldn't read into anything like that at all. But he was also really complimentary of where Tyler Smith is in terms of how he's taking to the coaching, how his technique is coming along, and how the mental side is coming along. He was really seemed impressed with how far.
Except when he plays next to Josh Ball.
Well, look, I mean, it can't all be perfect. And
Ball, man, I had no hope, and then I felt like I was wrong. I'm interested to see if Josh Ball's got some rebound to his game.
We'll see. And remember, but here's the other thing I think we need to remember. When we saw him looking good, it was at right tackle. He hasn't played left all off season. Yeah. And then they stuck him at left in the last couple of practices. That may just be a
sign. I need him to be better.
He's going to be your swing tackle, so he's got to jump left to right. He's with Willetsko hurt. So, I mean, he needs to figure it out. Last thing there that Will McClay said that I thought was interesting, they asked him about Trayvon Diggs and the criticism around Diggs and, oh, is he an all-pro player and some of that stuff. Clickbait, which I thought was great. I thought that was great that Will McClay would say clickbait, and then David Hellman from Fox Sports said, that it? He went, clickbait, yep. And then he expanded a little, but he said clickbait three or four times, that he thought it was just clickbait and that there's no debating Trayvon Diggs is an all-pro player. Is that just that Will caping for his guy, or do you think that's Will, you know, being the honest guy in the building again and saying, no, there it's garbage to go after Trayvon Diggs?
I'll tell you what, when Diggs doesn't get his hands on the receiver, he's in trouble. That's my – I will die on that hill. When he does not get his hands on the receiver – it throws his game off.
Do you think that applies to his zone coverages too, or just man?
The zone stuff he's got to play off. I would never play him in zone because he doesn't
quarterback.
The ability to turn and just run, he doesn't have a burst. He can come downhill, but I don't see that turn and just shoulder to shoulder with somebody. I just don't.
No, it's not.
That's why he's got to jam, position, and then mirror up the field.
It's not his game. You're right. But I just think in zone, it allows you to just basically read the quarterback, and he's so good at that. Like, he's so good at reading those drops.
They double move him sometimes in zone.
He's in zone, it doesn't matter. Like if he's just playing a shallow zone area, it's the double move's not going to matter as much because the safety's deep.
You hope.
Well, yeah, you hope. I mean, as long as KZ's not back there. You're listening to the Love the Star podcast. The Love the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.